you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 21, verses 15 through 17. That's John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep.
As has already been expressed, but it will not hurt to express it again, we appreciate your being here. We have visitors in our audience this morning, and we're always happy to see you. We have some that we are just meeting today, and we are very happy to see them as well. I will be very deeply appreciative to God when the residue of the physical problems that I'm still suffering due to the radiation treatments finally right themselves. And one of the reasons I'll be so thankful for that is I'll be able to come to Bible school. Everyone talks about what a great class we have in the adult class, and here I am missing it. Not wanting to, but having to nevertheless. And so it will make me very, very happy to be able to be back and be with you in that session again just as quickly as is humanly possible. Almost everyone who drops by the house to see Shirley, who incidentally is growing worse all the time, but they always remark, boy, oh boy, we have a great adult Bible class. And sometimes I tease them by saying, well, what about the kindergarten? And they'll say, well, I haven't been in that one lately. And we have a little fun out of it. But I'm told that the elders of this church do a superb job in leading the congregation in study and thinking in the Word of God. You are to be commended. God bless you. Don't slow down and don't quit. In the latter part of the book of Matthew, we read of events that took place in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed into the hands of sinners. He remarked to his disciples, all of you will be offended because of me this night. And the apostle Peter did not hesitate a moment to contradict what the Lord has said and said, no, no, Lord, it will not be so. All of the rest of them might be offended because of thee, but not me. I'm going to remain steadfast and faithful to you. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, or before the rooster crows, three times you will deny me. Peter still wasn't convinced, but after a while, circumstances worked around to the place that he did exactly what the Lord said he was going to do. And after he had done that, the Bible tells us that he went out and wept bitterly, and I can understand why. He not only had denied the greatest person he'd ever known in his life, but he denied his Savior. It's one thing to deny a politician. It's another thing to deny maybe even a friend, although no one would want to do that I know of. And yet it is not just another thing to deny our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that's what Peter did. In the passage of Scripture that Brother Lloyd read for us this morning in the 21st chapter of John, there is some rectifying to be done on the part of the Apostle Peter by the questions that the Lord asked him. The Lord asked him three times, and the third time he was a bit irritated because of it, but he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" Now, it's interesting to me that there are two verbs for love used here, both of them, of course, in the Greek language. The first one is agapao, and that's the one that Jesus used two out of three times. He was trying to get Peter to say that he loved him with a beneficent love that knew no bounds. Peter never would say that. And when Jesus said, "Lovest thou me?" Peter said, "I love you, Lord." But he used the Greek word for friend or friendship, phileo. And so he said, "You know, I love you like a friend." Jesus asked him again. He responded the same way again. Jesus asked him the third time, but the third time, Jesus used the same verb that Peter was, obviously being able to read the mind of Peter and knowing that he was not going to change what he was saying. And he was told to feed the sheep, to feed the lambs of Jesus. The question that Peter was asked upon this occasion is a question that we need to personally consider in our own hearts about ourselves from time to time. If Jesus were to appear here this morning, and if he were to say to me, "West, lovest thou me?" How could I answer? If he were to say to one of our elders, "Lovest thou me?" How could they answer? If he were to say it to you, "Lovest thou me?" How would you answer? Would we be embarrassed and shuffle back and forth and kind of mumble and stumble like a little boy who is wanting to ask a little girl for a date the first time? Well, only God knows that for sure, I suppose. Perhaps not even we know what our conduct would be like on that particular view, at that particular time, I meant to say. It's a memorable question. It's a question that haunts the heart and one that we cannot forget. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? A genuine Christian has a true and deep and abiding feeling of love for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not baptized into him to ignore him. We are not baptized into him to forget about him the next day. We do not come to believe in him with all of our hearts to turn against him in a little while, as some Christians who are recorded in the New Testament did. A true Christian is one whose Christianity works every day in his heart and in his life. And there's always a true fondness, a true love toward Jesus Christ. We love him preeminently, as the Apostle Paul suggested in Ephesians 6:24, because, first of all, for all he has done for us. We have rehearsed from this pulpit time and time again and from behind that communion table the great sacrifices that Jesus made. We have noted that the great prophet Isaiah prophesied of these things when he told us that Jesus was coming and how he was going to be treated, not by strangers, but by his own people. I think hurt always hurts worse when it's your own people. Nevertheless, Jesus persisted in making his way to the cross and giving what Abraham Lincoln would call that last full measure of devotion by shedding his blood upon the cross for the redemption of the world. So he has a right. He has a right to ask us the question, "Do you love me?" Do we really love the Lord? Is there true love in our hearts for him? Well, if that's the case, we will want to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, oftentimes we want to declare our love for God or for the Lord Jesus Christ or for the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and yet we want to ignore what the Bible says on certain subjects. I was having a religious discussion with a fellow one time, and I quoted the passage of Scripture to him saying, James said, and I started to quote the passage of Scripture, and he said, I don't care what James said. This is the way it is. And it wasn't what James said. I have to admit, I was just a tinge angered by that. But my anger soon turned to sympathy. I felt very, very sorry. Very, very sorry for any mere human being who would say, I don't care what an inspired sacred writer said about anything. This is what I think, and that's the way it is. Well, there can't be much love there for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Furthermore, if we love our Savior, Jesus, we'll want to be in his presence. You know, when young people are courting, you can hardly keep them in different rooms, much less widely parted from one another. When love begins to grow and blossom, then a man will ask a woman to marry him because he wants her to be at his side every hour of every day for the rest of their lives. But sometimes, those of us who are Christians do not have that kind of love for Jesus, do we? Sometimes we would rather be somewhere else doing something else. Incidentally, that's the reason I am always so thankful for those who come here to listen to my poor, pathetic sermons, because I know you could be wherever you want to be, doing whatever you want to do in the land of the free, and there's no one who can force you here. That you come out of a love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we love a person, we delight in his company. And so it is with the true Christian and with Christ. When we love Christ more than these, that is, more than these things that surround us in this world, we will want to remember his sacrifice for us, his demonstration of his love for us. He demonstrated his love, the writer of the book of Hebrews said, by his dying on the cross. And true love longs for the blessed day when he'll see his master's face forever. The RCA Victor Company used to put out phonograph records. Now I'm going to tell my age, but it was back in the age when it took a disc that big around to hold one song on each side. And RCA Victor had an icon that they put on the front of their records. And it was a dog sitting and listening to an old-fashioned phonograph. And underneath it said, he hears his master's voice. Perhaps that dog had a lesson for us, that we should want to hear our master's voice, that we would want to see his face, that we want to be in his very presence. And if we're faithful to him on earth, that can happen after death. One who loves Christ will want to converse with him. We love to talk to people whom we love. We have no difficulty in finding a subject for conversation when we are with people whom we love very, very much. Likewise, the true Christian loves to talk not only to Jesus, but to the Father in his name, that is, in Christ's name. We call this prayer. And we can pour out our hearts to the heavenly Godhead. It doesn't make any difference what hour of the day or the night it is, we can do that. Heaven's ear is always alert. And the telephone line, if you please, is always open. God is always listening. And so we can talk with Him, as Jesus did, about the most frightening and intimate things in our lives. On the night that Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinners, He went into the presence of God Himself and prayed, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done in all things." That's the humble heart of our Lord speaking, and it's the kind of heart we ought to have when we come into the presence of God. We should love to pray. You know, prayer is a wonderful thing because you don't really need any special circumstances to do it. Don't have to be in a temple. Don't have to be in a church building. You can be in your automobile. You can be in your bed. You can be beside your bed. You can be at the breakfast table. You can just, wherever you are, you can open your heart and talk to God. And you know what? God will talk back. He does it through His Word. Sometimes the prayer will be on our hearts, "Father, help me find that passage of Scripture that I need today to settle this, that, or the other in my heart." And I've never failed to find it. Of course, I might have to use Strong's Concordance and do a lot of searching, but I've never failed to find it. However, I have failed to find Scripture that other people wanted me to find. A lady called me one time and said, "Preacher, where is the passage of Scripture that I have to quote to stop bleeding?" And I said, "Well, if I were you, I'd go to the emergency room because I don't know of any passage of Scripture that'll stop bleeding." Made her very angry. She said, "What kind of a preacher are you anyway that don't know the passage to stop bleeding?" And I said, "Well, I guess maybe the same kind as the parishioner who doesn't know where to find the passage to stop bleeding. I'm a mean old fella, aren't I?" Another one called me and wanted to know, "Where does the Bible say every tub shall sit on its own bottom?" I still haven't found that one, but I've always found the ones I needed. And I'm able to turn to them and read them. When we really love Christ, we will be like the man of the first Psalm, who takes his delight in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which shall bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf won't wither. If we love Jesus, we don't mind sacrificing for him. Sometimes I fear that those of us who are Christians are a little bit like the boy that wrote his girl a love letter. And he wrote, "Dear Anna Marie, I love you more than anything else on earth. My love for you is greater than the Rocky Mountains. It's deeper than the Pacific Ocean. I would fight wild tigers just to be at your side. I would swim the widest part of the Mississippi River just to see you. I'd climb the highest mountain that is on the face of the earth if I knew you were at the top. And if it doesn't rain Friday night, I'll be over to see you." Can we be that way? I think so. I think so. We will be ready to sacrifice for him because he sacrificed for us. He gave all that he had to give for us. What would you think of an able-bodied, prosperous parent who would allow his child to go hungry? Not much, would you? Well, we must be willing, as the Apostle Paul told the Romans, to present our bodies living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. which is our reasonable service at any and all times. The word reasonable here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 means belonging to the reason, belonging to the mind. It's a rational service. It's one that we have thought about very carefully, and we are willing to do it because it's reasonable to do it. And I think that we can be assured by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He will never ask us anything unreasonable or irrational. If we love Christ as we should, we will be willing to forego and abandon anything that will bring reflection upon His name. You know, friends, Jesus is getting a lot of bad press in our nation today. There are people who make fun of Him. There are people who make fun of us because we love Him and because we want to serve Him. I read one article in which a man said, only, now you listen to this, only the mentally crippled will lean on a crutch like Jesus. Now, Mark, you know what you are, don't you? And I know what I am. In this man's eyes, but you know something? What this man said simply is not true. The mental cripple is the man who does not accept all of the evidence in the Bible and come to the rational conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be able to abandon, or willing to abandon, not only the material things of this life, but whatever we think and believe, if the Scriptures contradict our thinking. We go with God. We don't twist the Scriptures to make God go with us. As a matter of fact, the Bible warns us about that very thing. But lastly this morning, if we love Jesus Christ, we'll love His disciples. That is, our brothers and sisters, spiritual brothers and sisters who are in Him. We usually are amenable to a man's friends when we love and respect him, aren't we? If he loves and respects this person, and I don't know that person, yet he recommends him, I'm likely to like him too. And so if Jesus accepts a person into His service, I should love him. We don't always do that. I have often said in times past, if there is one thing that is going to keep members of the churches of Christ out of heaven, it's our indifference to the doctrine of love. If you want to read a good explanation of the doctrine of love, go read 1 Corinthians 13. It only has 13 verses in the whole chapter. And it ends with these words: "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity," or love, as some other translations say, correctly, incidentally. And so I want to conclude this morning by simply asking one brief question. Do we love the Lord? Lovest thou me? How would we answer if He were asking us that question? And in a sense, He is this morning. We love Him. Yes, because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19. When we read all four of the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus, and this is where we learn about His life on earth, His death, His sufferings, and His love for us, surely no man can, without bias, refuse to do anything that Jesus asks him to do. And so, do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? If you do, will you come to Him this morning, ready to confess that after having repented of your sins? Will you go into the waters of baptism and be born again? Will you have your sins washed away, as Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16? Oh, we hope and pray that you will. We want you to. It would excite us and stir love in our hearts to know Ian, to see you do that. And if you have done it, but things are not in your life as they should be, we urge you to repent and return to Jesus while we stand together and sing the invitation song.